Hey there, this is Shahid Chaudhary, a senior technical evangelist at Microsoft. We're here again in the Edge of the Web sessions to talk about ASP.NET Core. So if you've watched any of my previous videos, you may have gotten a deep coverage of unit testing and also Entity Framework. But in case you wanted to just get a broad look at what ASP.NET Core has to offer, whether you're an experienced developer or just new to ASP.NET, this video is for you. So we're going to talk about ASP.NET MVC web apps and also web API and how you can work with mobile front ends or web front ends. Hey, so you'll see here from the title slide, I have ASP.NET Core with little asterisks on the top right. That's because the note at the bottom says ASP.NET Core used to be called ASP.NET 5. This was the name during the old betas during 2015. And after the RC1 release in late 2015, there was a rename in January of 2016 to name ASP.NET 5 to ASP.NET Core. So keep that in mind where you're looking for documentation and other tutorials online. So today we're going to talk about MVC and Web API and how you can build ASP.NET Core solutions. Down at the bottom left, you'll see wakeupandcode.com. Again, that's my blog, where you'll be able to find presentation material from all my past presentations and also for this presentation as well. So let's proceed and see what we have up for today. We'll start off with ASP.NET architecture. In case you're not familiar with it, it will give you a brief overview. If you're already a seasoned ASP.NET developer, this will be familiar to you. And this sets a tone for the rest of this video. You'll learn a couple of new things and also a couple of you'll see a couple of familiar things if you've already worked with older versions of ASP.NET. We'll cover the model view controller pattern for designing MVC apps. We'll take a look at an MVC web project. And this is where the new stuff comes into play with ASP.NET Core. If you haven't seen it before, we'll see how the new project structure and configuration files are different from what we used to have before. We'll go into tag helpers and HTML views on the MVC view side of things. And then we'll wrap up with some web API knowledge. We'll cover the web API type of project and go into consuming web API with different types of front ends. Finally, we'll wrap up with some JavaScript frameworks and see how we can run a JavaScript project and still talk to a web API project. So here's a quick look at the ASP.NET architecture. As you can see, we have sites and services separated out, and web forms on one side, Signal are on the other side, but in between we have MVC, web pages, and web API all mashed into one. So this is something that's new in ASP.NET Core. So with the new core, we have a unification of MVC and web pages and web API. Now, the reason I have a couple of those underlined is because today we'll talk about MVC and web API. Web pages is something that will not be available by the 1.0 release of ASP.NET Core, but it is coming soon later in 2016. Web forms on the far left is not something we'll be covering today. It is still available if you're doing ASP.NET on the full .NET framework. It is not supported on the cross-platform ASP.NET Core that we're going to be moving forward with. And on the right there, we have SignalR. The new version of SignalR will be SignalR 3. That's still being worked on. Again, it will be available later in 2016. So with that, let's see what we have in terms of model view controllers. So you've probably seen this before if you worked with MVC before. A request comes in from the end user. The controller handles all the requests. Again, that's where the magic happens. Your application can set up some routes that controllers can use, and the controller is then responsible for updating the model that is used by the view. So the view can get data from the model, and the controller is also used to update parts of the view. So let's say you have a controller method that builds up some data, and then it loads up a view and serves it to the end user. That is what's presented to the user in a browser. As we'll take a look at some code as well in a project to see how this all fits together. So if you click File, New Project in Visual Studio 2015, you'll see a set of project templates if you choose the web application type, and you'll be presented with a bunch of different templates. As of today, the ASP.NET templates that are for the new core are still listed under ASP.NET 5. Again, I have a little asterisk there. The footnote says it is subject to rename with the release of RC2. So RC2 will be released pretty soon in early 2016, and you'll be able to see the correct classification of this. So again, it will no longer be listed under ASP.NET 5 templates, but rather under ASP.NET Core. So we'll see that pretty soon. In the meantime, let's jump into Visual Studio and see what your projects might look like. So I have a Visual Studio window open, and if I click File, New, and go to Project, as you can see, I could have also clicked Control-Shift-N. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. So when I click File, New, Project, or Control-Shift-N, under Visual Studio, under Visual C Sharp, I have a web item, and under web, I have ASP.NET Web Application, Class Library, and Console Application. So we'll be focusing on ASP.NET Web Application for now, but it's worth mentioning that these other two can also be used by ASP.NET developers. For class libraries, you'll be building a class library for your web application if you'd like to add additional code to it that can be shared across multiple web apps. And down here at the bottom, we have console applications, which is a little weird for a web application, but it's just another way of creating a console application that can run in the command prompt, also in the background, and still take advantage of all the new project features that ASP.NET Core has to offer. So let's take a look at one of the web applications. If you click OK, here are the choices you have. As I mentioned earlier, we have three choices for ASP.NET 5, again, which will be renamed to Core soon. Empty will let you create a brand new empty web application. Web API and web application is what we'll focus on today. But just note that these are not just one-way roads where you can just build one and never go back and create a web API inside a web application with MVC. You can start in any direction and add things as needed because everything is unified, and you also have common classes between web API controllers and MVC controllers. So let's say you start off with an empty page or empty project. You can add web API controllers to it or web application MVC controllers to it as needed. If you start with a regular full MVC app, you can add a web API controller to it as needed. So again, you can go in any direction. So on the right here, I have a change authentication button. I will just touch on that really quick, but won't go too deep into it today. So by default, you'll have individual user accounts, and it uses user tables in a database. You can choose no authentication if you want. You can also add additional types of authentication, such as your organizational account or Windows authentication for intranet applications. So right now, I'm just going to hit cancel for this and open one of this examples of projects I've already created. So this project over here, which I named ASP.NET Core RC1 Web, uses the current RC1 version of ASP.NET. And I have a bunch of files in my solution. So these solution files also include a lot of JSON files. So each of these JSON files are available to do certain things. So you have project.json, which I have open here, where you can define all your server-side dependencies and the frameworks that you're using. You have package.json, which will have package references here. And you have startup.cs, where your application has certain definitions of things that are going to be added to your web app. So aside from the constructor here, we have two methods, configure services and configure. And the best way to explain this is to show you an example. Here you notice in the configure services method, I have a call to services.addMVC. So it makes sure that MVC is added to this application. And down in the configure method, I have a use MVC call. So if I scroll down here, it says here that MVC is, oops, I clicked one by mistake. I was going to zoom in with the control one. So I have a tool on my machine called Zoomit, and I can use control one to zoom in. So here you can see use MVC, which can be used to apply MVC to your project and also define a default route. So this route is what defines how you can access certain parts of your application using the controller name followed by an action method inside the controller. Let's zoom out there, and we'll take a look at more parts of the application. But first, let me show you something in Solution Explorer. There's a little button there right in the middle. It lets you show all files. So if you click on this button, it makes sure that some hidden files are also shown. So just in case you don't see additional files, like your app settings file and so on, this is something you can make visible by clicking on Show All Files in your application. So let's go back to the PowerPoint slides and see what's up next. So earlier we talked about Show All Files. So here's a screenshot for that and how to find it. Next in this slide, I have a quick introduction of tag helpers. So before we get into tag helpers, let's see how controllers can actually be used to return a view using a model, and how tag helpers can then help you work with that model with really clean code. So going back to our ASP.NET solution, you'll see that we have three types of folders: controllers, models, and views. Again, these are by convention, so it's easy to find things. And we also have a view models folder where you can create a model that specifically relates to a view. So just in case you have models that relate to your database entities but don't map directly to what you'll be displaying on the screen, you can have a view model defined that will map directly to what you're showing on the screen. So in the controller method, I have a bunch of controllers, or rather controller folder, I have a bunch of methods. So if I open up home controller or account controller, I'll see that they all derive from a base class called controller. This is the same base class that API controllers also use. And this kind of defines unification of MVC and Web API in the new ASP.NET. So from here, we have a bunch of account methods. And you see some clues over here that says the get verb from HTTP is used to define how you can access this page. So if you go to the login page, it uses the account controller's login method and lets you see the view. So all it says is return view. So how does it know what view to return? By default, by convention, it's going to look in the views folder, it looks under the account subfolder, and it looks for a view named login. So again, under views, account login.cshtml, let's go ahead and open that file. So once this file is opened, you'll notice that at the top I have at model login view model. So that's a model file it's going to use to display items on the page. So we can click on it and then type F12 on my keyboard. I could also right-click, and there should be an option that says go to definition, which is F12. So if you ever forget keystrokes, just right-click on your menus or use the top menu to see what your keystrokes might be. So I use F12 quite often, and that shows me the login view model. It has three fields: email, password, and a remember me option that could be a checkbox on your screen. So now, if you look down the HTML here, you'll notice that there is a form tag, but that form tag is actually a little purple there. So this means that this is a server-side tag. Instead of having a weird-looking server-side code and client-side code mixed together, the new ASP.NET Core introduces these tag helpers that can make your code a lot more easier to view, and at the same time use HTML tags with these server-side attributes. The first attribute there, ASP controller, indicates that it will use account controller, followed by the ASP action attribute, which lets you know that it will use a login method once a user clicks submit on this form. So let's go ahead and run this application, see what it looks like. So as it's coming up, let me just recap what we talked about. We looked at a controller and how it returns a view. We looked at the view that it returns and how it associates itself with the model. And that really sums up how controllers, models, and views work together in ASP.NET. Here on the top right, I have a login link. So I'm going to go ahead and click on that login link. And here you'll see I have a form. So this form comes from that view that I just showed you with these three fields: email, password, and the remember me checkbox. This helps you submit this form, and go ahead. You can go ahead and log into the system. So let's see what we have next. We took a brief look at tag helpers, but let's compare it to what we had before. So if you take a look at the screenshot, we see the before and after, or then and now. On the left here, you see a bunch of at HTML.validation summaries and at HTML.label fours and text box fours and so on. And that's how you would typically associate models and fields with form elements. But on the right here, you'll see highlighted, there's some items that show you how you can use server-side code that are just HTML tags and attributes. So similar to how we had the form earlier, this makes everything a lot cleaner. The next slide here highlights what we just looked at in the code. You have the form tag followed by attributes. You have div tag followed by attributes, label tags, and so on. So this can be used for not only forms and submitting forms to a specific controller and action method. It can also be used for validation in your form as well. Anything that you normally do in your MVC views, you can do it this way with the new tag helpers. All right, so up next we have ASP.NET Web API project templates. So we'll go back to Visual Studio. I'll go ahead and stop the application. Click File. And I could close the solution and take a look at what else we have here. I have one of my recent projects. So let's go to Project Solution and see if I can find the project. Or better yet, if I just go to Recent Project Solutions here, I'll find the project that I was trying to open. So again, I was looking for the Web API project. So now that that's opened up, this is a very simple web application project. It literally has just one controller in it. As you can see from the code, it has defined a route. If you go to API slash whatever the controller name is, in this case it's values, then it will generate a list of things. So in this case, I've hard-coded some values. And this is what you get when you click File, and then New, and then Project, and choose the Web API option. So once this this controller is available, you can go ahead and take a look at how it has get and post methods and so on. Let's go ahead and run the application to show you how it actually works. It's actually a lot simpler than running the full MVC web app, because the Web API doesn't have all that front-end stuff to worry about. So let me zoom in a little. You'll see it has this JSON response with value 1 and value 2. This one comes from this one method where it's releasing an array of values. So again, it depends on how you'd like to use these values. They can be used from any mobile front-end you can think of. So let's go ahead and focus on the different types of end results you would use to consume your Web API. So again, when you create a new project, choose Web API to get started with the Web API. Again, you'll notice that it's listed under ASP.NET 5. It will be renamed to ASP.NET Core soon. For consuming Web APIs, you could consume it with an MVC app. Let's say you have a view that uses some JavaScript to interact against the Web API. You could use a mobile app on any platform that can use this REST interface, or you could use an HTML5 app that's all client-side code. If you have any developers who are working on all HTML5, JavaScript, CSS, they can also interact with your backend ASP.NET Core app. There are many JavaScript frameworks for you to use. A couple of JavaScript frameworks that I've used in the past include Knockout and AngularJS. Fortunately, these also have some documentation on the ASP.NET site, which is under docs.asp.net. If you look at the client-side section, you'll see tutorials for both Knockout and Angular. Now, AngularJS, being maintained by Google, is a very popular framework and is used by developers around the world and has been embraced by Microsoft as well. So how do you use AngularJS within your web code and still use Web API? You could use something like this, where you have a controller defined, a typical MVC controller that returns a view. And in your MVC view, have some div tags that use some Angular syntax. Here you have a controller returning a view that is somehow connected to your Web API in the backend. I have a link at the bottom there. It says github.com/asp.net. We have a full project released by Microsoft, or a set of projects, that include these client-side projects as well. So the Angular sample here shows you how you can use a person controller and get a list of people and still get into that person model to get the first name and last name and other fields that are in it. At the bottom right, you'll also see there's some additional JavaScript files that form part of this AngularJS application. Inside the Angular app, I've opened up a couple of these JavaScript files. This person controller, which is a client-side controller, not to be confused with the MVC controllers we've been looking at. It has this constructor that sets up what it does when you try to get a list of people. And when it's successful, it releases the list of data into this people attribute. On the right here, you see this person factory, where all it's doing, it's using this /API/people route to get a list of people. And that goes back into that people controller we looked at earlier. So again, the people controller was that MVC controller on the server side, and you have this person controller on the client side giving you back the people. And finally, to tie it all together, you have this person controller as a Web API controller. And its route is slightly different from typical MVC controllers. You'll see the route is /API/people. And to bring it all together, in this case, it hard codes a list of people, in this case, John, Mary, and Bob. And when you run the application, you can go ahead and point it to the people controller on the server side as an MVC controller and still get back all these details that are coming back from the Web API controller. And that's how it all comes together. If any of that was confusing, not to worry. Let's go ahead and take a look at some actual web code. So we have a bunch of different files open here. But what I'll go ahead and do is close this solution. And I should have another project open. That is our Angular sample. And now that this Angular sample is open, I have a bunch of different files here that I wanted to point at. So I have a person controller that's open. I have a person factory. I also have this person app that's defined. And on the server side, I have API person controller and also the people controller on the web browser. So let's go ahead and run this application. And we'll talk about each of the pieces one by one. So as it's opening up in my web browser, you'll see the typical Angular sample come up. Let's zoom in out of this a little. There you go. And I'm going to go ahead and type in people and hit enter. And here you'll see a list of people that are being displayed on the screen. So where did all this come from? If I go back to the code and hit stop, so let's follow the routes here. If you go back into startup.cs, here you'll see that towards the bottom, I have defined a route that says you can type in a controller and an action and go specifically into your app through the controller. By default, the default controller is home, but if I put in the controller name, it overrides the default value, and by default, the default action is index. So since I typed in slash people in my web browser, it goes to the server-side people controller, and since I didn't include any action methods, by default, it will go into this index view. So since it returns view, it will find the views folder, and it'll look for in the views folder this people subfolder there that you can see in the Solution Explorer. Under the people subfolder, it's going to go ahead and open the index view by default. So here in the index view, you'll see that I have a reference to this person controller that's an Angular controller, and it repeats a list of items. It looks for a person in this list of people, and it looks for first name and last name. So where does this come from? Since I have this these JavaScript references, it references a person app to set things up, and a person factory to return a person, and the person controller that handles these requests. So the person app here, all it does is define this app on the client side. And this person controller that I'm in right now, all it does is make sure that the person controller can return a list of people when requested. And finally, the person factory makes sure that it can call slash API slash people to get the data from there. So putting all this together, this API call will go ahead and when called by slash API slash people on the server side, will return this list of people and return it to the client side. Again, as I mentioned earlier, it does get sent back as a JSON result. So this JSON result can be used by any front end, including mobile and web front ends as well. So that wraps up a quick overview of what you have in terms of ASP.NET Core, where you have web apps using MVC, and you have web API that can be used by any front end, including web front ends and mobile front ends. So I leave you with my final slide, which has my contact information. You can see my email address there if you need to reach out to me with any questions. And I hope to see you in the next video. Thank you.